Hello and welcome to the Tales to Inspire podcast. Today I have an interview with Vedangi Kulkarni. Vedangi is the youngest person to circumnavigate the world on a bike. Cycling over 18,000 miles in 160 days, she was 20 when she completed it. Let's just go to cycling around the world. Vedangi, you don't go to every country, you'll go circular around the world.
Basically, the rules are that you have to ride at least 18,000 miles. You cross two antipode points on the opposite ends of the Earth, and you have to always go just in one direction. So those are the rules for circumnavigating around the world.
So the trip, how did you plan the trip?
Your start and finish line is the same. Mine was Perth, Australia, and I rode across Australia and then across New Zealand, then just North Thailand. I was supposed to go to Alaska but didn't get a US visa, so I went to Canada, all the way across Canada. Then Iceland, Portugal, Spain, France, Belgium, Germany, Denmark, Sweden, Finland, then half across Russia, India, and then back to where I started in Australia. It took like 159 days across 14 countries.
You did those 18,000 miles in 159 days around the world at the age of 19 and 20. As a young lady doing that, I find it amazing as well. You're going to these unknown countries, visas and all that kind of stuff. What about some challenges you came across? Was there any interesting challenge, something that was personally difficult?
I faced tons of challenges, honestly. The first one was actually getting to the start line because I had to get a visa for Australia, for New Zealand, for Canada, for every country in Europe, for Russia. I was supposed to get one for Mongolia and China as well. Obviously, I did not end up going there. I had to arrange all these visas on the go, which was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. So, Australia, New Zealand and Canada were sorted. The US visa? Somehow, I had applied for the visa, but the day they gave me for the interview was after I was supposed to be already in the country, and I was like, that just does not make sense, and honestly, I was not sure why they did that anyway. And then again, I had a few other visa issues at the end of Canada, after my halfway point actually. I realized that I might need a Schengen visa. I already knew that and I was supposed to get it at the halfway point. But in the way it happened, I was in Canada on a tourist visa. And on a tourist visa, I'd have to go either to India or the UK and apply for the visa I needed and then come back. And I was just like, I can't do that. I literally went to at least 13 embassies and said just, look, I have these many documents, including a letter from Indian Prime Minister. Please help me. And after a lot of struggles, the Danish embassy decided to give me a visa. After I told them everything, they said they can give me only two visas, one for Iceland or one for Denmark. And then I was like, hang on, let me see. And then suddenly, I had to decide to go to Iceland, because if I went to Denmark, I would not be able to kind of go back down. And if my entry point is Denmark, I'd have to continue from Denmark to the other countries northbound. So that would not make sense. I wouldn't have been able to cover the distance. I was like, right, I have to go to Iceland and then fly to Portugal.
It's so many things. What about physical challenges? Did you get blisters? Did you have any muscle problems? How was your mental health when you were doing this?
You know, for the first half of the journey, I was doing 200 miles each day, which was a challenge in itself. It was taking me between 16 and 18 hours, I believe. And it was extremely hard. In Canada, in the Rockies, there were really bad wildfires. I got a lung infection. And I also got chased by a bear.
You got chased by a bear while you're on your bike?
Yes, I was literally going up this climb and I saw a group of grizzlies right by the highway. I was told, you're not supposed to see them by the highway. And I was also told, they don't like people, blah blah. They will leave you alone. That's what I was told. And then when I saw the grizzlies, I was fascinated. They are huge, they are furry. And I saw three. And the cub was really cute. And then there was the mom. And the cub and the mom were doing something. And then, I think, there was a male grizzly. And I was just like, don't look, calm down, it's okay. And then he stands on the street, and then I'm like, go for it. Now is the time, you absolutely go for it. And I just rode really hard up the hill, Well, I was not going to stand a chance against grizzlies. They run like 60 kilometers per hour. And they're really good at running uphill. And I was also going uphill, but I could have turned back. Then there was like a dip. Anywhere where I went, I had no chance. I stood no chance, so I just kept riding up. Whatever, I was going up and then I went to the other side of the road. I went all the way to the left and a big black lorry came from the other side, screeching its brake, honking really loudly. I can only imagine that must be heavy as well. It stops inches away from me, still honking loudly. And because I had this massive adrenaline rush, I couldn't hear properly at all. All I could think about was, you know, flight. Just right away from that, the grizzly went really close by me into the valley rather than coming for me. And I think, lying there, the lorry shoot the grizzly away. One of the scariest things that can happen to you is being chased by something that big.